Now, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you again today. So I have a question for you. Do you feel that there's a blowtorch burning inside you and that sometimes you can't turn that blowtorch off? Well, today we're going to talk about how to ditch what I call your fight traps and how ditching your fight traps, these dysfunctional, faulty fighting tactics that we all use, can save your relationship and your life. So if you lose your temper when you get angry and yell and scream and name call, or even use more subtle maneuvers that are just as damaging to your relationship, stay with me because I'm going to show you how to turn off your emotional blowtorch. These fight traps, the faulty conflict resolution tactics, always throw oil on the fire, and they keep you stuck on the fighting treadmill. And if you want to achieve relationship harmony and you want to allow your relationship to make old bones, it's necessary to identify each of your fight traps and ditch them. And we're going to do that in a couple of minutes. We're also going to talk about some questions that I've answered that are in my advice archives at AskDrLove.com. The first one is called Grudge versus Forgiveness. And here I'm working with a 36-year-old woman who agreed to an open relationship with her boyfriend and then changed her mind about being two-timed. And now she finds herself unable to forgive his unfaithfulness. So stay with me as I help her understand what gives when it comes to why she can't forgive. The second question is, I don't want to fight all the time. And in this question, I'm helping out a woman whose relationship is a pendulum that swings from angry to lovey-dovey. So stick with me as I explain why she's fallen into this pattern and how she can break free. And also, in Very Troubled, I'm helping out a man who complains that his girlfriend is always throwing past gripes in his face, and she's caught in what I call the ancient history fight trap. So stay with me as I explain why we fall into this particular trap and how to break free of it. And then, if we have time, we'll do a reading between the sheets where I tackle your toughest sexual problems. And this one is called Confused, Hurt, and Disappointed in Indiana. And here I'm helping out a newlywed woman who, despite her fights and her tantrums, can't seem to get her husband to give it up. So stay with me to find out how she can handle the way he withholds his love handle. All right, so now let's get on to how to turn off your emotional blowtorch. Before we get down to identifying and eliminating your fight traps, I want you to understand a little bit about the chemistry of conflict, because heated fighting triggers a biochemical imbalance in men's bodies that causes them to withdraw from conflict. There's a technical name for this. It's called the demand-withdraw-negative-escalation cycle, or husband withdrawal for short. And no, I'm not talking about a natural form of birth control here. Now, what causes husband withdrawal? Well, it turns out research shows us that men's bodies are hardwired to be hyperreactive to stress and danger. And this hardwiring is a programming that dates back to prehistoric times when men were hunters and they needed to react with lightning speed to flee or fight dangerous prey. Well, obviously, modern danger isn't the ferocious tiger. It's the angry wife or girlfriend. And when she comes at him baring her teeth and berating him with criticism, his body sees danger and involuntarily switches into autonomic nervous system arousal, ANS arousal, and this triggers the fight-flight mode. Now, you can't resolve conflict when a guy is flat-out gone. So my takeaway point here is if you want your guy to stick around and resolve your issues, you have to turn down your emotional blowtorch. You have to cool the climate down. Now, my first relationship climate control technique is to identify and eliminate those fight traps that we all use. But before you identify and eliminate your fight traps, you have to really ask yourself, am I really ready to give up my fight traps? I want to give you an example of why we're often not ready. Every night after work, Fred practices the same ritual without deviation. He puts his shoes at the back door. He sits in his favorite easy chair, pours himself a scotch, reads the newspaper, takes a nap. Now, of course, we humans are creatures of habit. And there's a permanent tug of war going on inside all of us. On the one level, we want to move ahead, but on the other level, we want to stay the same. So I want to give you a quick quiz and just answer mentally yes or no. The first question is, if I'm honest with myself, I have to admit that I'd feel like a fish out of water without chronic fights gnawing at the guts of my relationship. Yes or no? Second question, I'm afraid that I wouldn't know how to relate to my partner if we stopped our fighting. Yes or no? Here's your third question. I'm afraid that if we let go of our fighting, another worse problem is going to appear. Yes or no? And lastly, I'm afraid that if I allow myself to believe things can change for the better, that I will be terribly disappointed if it doesn't happen. Yes or no? Now, if you said yes to the first or second statement that I asked you, the first or second question, you're suffering from fear of the unknown. And fear of the unknown is a very normal fear. There's actually a name for it. It's called xenophobia. So let me give you an example of this fear. Every night, Jennifer makes sure that her husband Joseph's dinner is ready at 6:30. Joseph, who's an accountant, told her he'd be arriving later and later each night as the tax deadline approaches. And when this started happening, she was convinced that he was using the taxes as an excuse to avoid her. And when he finally arrived home, she lashed out at him. And he would take her verbal lashings every night because eventually she'd run out of gas and there would be peace until the next time. And for him, being yelled at was a part of marriage. His mother always yelled at his father. At least there were no surprises. Well, one day, Jennifer complained to her friend Susan about her problem with Joseph. And Susan, whose father was also an accountant, told Jennifer that her father stayed out till 11 at night during tax season. So Jennifer realized that she was misinterpreting Joseph's lateness. So when he returned home that night, she didn't scream at him, but she welcomed him with a kiss and a big hello. And Joseph got scared. What's going on? Has she poisoned my stew? What does she want from me? Maybe she's horny. Maybe she wants to force me into having sex. Not another hour and a half to stay a week and on a night when I'm so tired. So he starts sweating. His guts are in a knot. He'd become so accustomed to their nightly fight that he hardly knew how to live without it. So he's suffering from the fear of the unknown. Now, it's true that the unknown is scary, but chronic fighting is even more scary. So think about what you risk by staying with the familiar. And the risks include physical violence, illness, depression, infidelity, and even divorce. So I want you to take a moment and write down all the risks you face from staying the same. If you need to pause the show, if you're listening to a rebroadcast, pause and write it all down. Now, as you ponder all the terrible risks associated with staying stuck, on the fighting treadmill, aren't you thinking that maybe I'm a little more willing to risk something new? Now, what about the last two statements? If we let go of our fighting, another worse problem is going to appear, and if I allow myself to believe that things can change for the better, I'm going to be terribly disappointed when it doesn't happen. Well, both of those fears express a defeatist attitude. It's like saying, I know I'm doomed, so why try for better? And this hopeless feeling may be coming from the fact that you haven't been able to make headway on your relationship problem. So it's normal to feel defeated when things aren't going well. But sticking with me, working with me, reading my book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, is going to give you all the techniques you need to combat this attitude because you're going to actually have the skills you need to resolve your conflict. Now, there's also a deeper reason behind the defeatist attitude, because your mind is using this hopeless philosophy as a protection against feeling hurt or disappointed. If you try and you fail, of course you're going to feel let down. So in order to protect yourself, your mind has convinced you not to try. Why bother trying? It won't work anyway. True, if you don't expend any effort in trying to change your situation, then you don't have to risk failure, hurt, or disappointment. But the irony is that by not trying, you are failing yourself in your relationship. And remember, the only real failures are those who don't try. So identifying the fears that keep you clinging to the familiar is the first step toward resolving them. And I also frequently suggest that you repeat what I said to you just now. That's going to further help you soften your fears. And when your fears no longer have you by the throat, then you're ready to move on to the next step, which is to identify and eliminate the fight traps that are holding your relationship hostage. Now, in the last 34 years, I've worked with so many couples from all walks of life, and my work out of my Center for Emotional Communication here in Dutchess County, New York, and my work with people on radio and my live workshops, my work has yielded an amazing finding. fight traps, cut across state lines, class lines, power lines, age lines, and any other lines that you can think of. So the point is, all conflicted couples engage in these fight traps. And when I did research for my book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, I actually searched the literature. And I was surprised that I couldn't find a comprehensive list of fight traps. So the fight traps that I share with you in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye is the first exhaustive list, and I broke it down into two categories, open warfare and secret warfare. So it's important to realize that every faulty fight trap is faulty and dysfunctional. And I'm stressing the point because most of us engage in behaviors that are so natural they seem like a second skin. But no matter how normal the fight traps may seem to you, they are not normal, they are not healthy, and each and every one of them maintains and escalates relationship conflict and keeps you stuck in a permanent state of war. They keep the emotional blowtorch turned on high. So if you're committed to achieving relationship harmony, you need to identify the fight traps you and your partner use and trash them. So let's talk a little bit about some open warfare fight traps. And I bet you'll recognize some of your own behaviors in the examples I'm going to give you. The first one I'll share with you is called counter-blaming. Now, in distressed relationships, couples rarely listen to each other, and so they miss no opportunity to throw the blame back on the other person. And obviously, counter-blaming escalates the conflict and precludes any kind of resolution. Let me give you an example of counter-blaming. Mary, she says, I asked you not to leave your underwear beside the bed. And then Pete says, well, I told you not to hang your stockings in the shower. And then Mary says, you always have an answer, Mr. Perfect. And then Pete says, well, you're the one who's answering back. So you could see they keep turning the blame back on the other. Let me give you another one. This one is so common in distressed couples. It's called verbal attacking. And it leads to defensive responses and then verbal counterattacks. So Marie is standing in the laundry room, and she is furious. And Josh enters the room, and she throws a towel at his head. And she says, you seem to be clueless to the fact that laundry needs to be done each week. And he says, oh, like I do nothing around the house? Very defensive, right? Not that you would notice, counterattack. And he peels the towel from his head and storms off. Now, here's another favorite of distressed couples. It's called scorekeeping. Couples get caught in scorekeeping to boost their eroding egos. And I just want to show you how to recognize scorekeeping and its variants. And keep in mind, once you start resorting to scorekeeping, you're going to use any ammunition necessary in order to win the match. But it's not unusual then to find that the tactics described, you know, in scorekeeping, you might pull in other kinds of open warfare tactics to strengthen your punch and, you know, give yourself the winning score. So Mike says, this is the fifth time I told you to fold my socks flat, not in a ball. And then Sue says, well, as long as we're counting, it's been 100 times that I told you to stop piling your junk mail on the night table. And then he says, well, if you're going to paint me as a pig, I think you better look at your closet. It's got 1,000 pieces of junk thrown in there. And then she says, so since you're so good with numbers, call your mother and tell her you're moving back in with her. You get the idea. Often couples will also scorekeep like, you know, I've asked you so many times or I've told you so many times not to do this or you've done this for the 1,000th time when someone's doing a behavior that drives you crazy. Well, obviously, scorekeeping heats the climate, turns on the blowtorch, and creates more ANS arousal, more withdrawal, and more fighting. So we're going to take a brief break. When we come back, I'm going to give you some more open warfare fight trap examples. Be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
When my beloved husband died of a bee sting, I wanted to die and join him. But his astonishing spirit manifestations prove to me that we don't die and our relationships aren't meant to end with bodily death. To honor his request that I let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others, I wrote the number one international bestseller, Love Never Dies, which tells our eternal love story and introduces my new method for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Hi, I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I invite you to join me for a magical week-long Caribbean cruise from January 22nd through 29th. Float with me along the peaceful turquoise waters, make friends that last a lifetime, and learn how to say hello, not goodbye, to your loved ones in spirit, and even heal any unfinished business. If you're ready to transform your grief to joy, visit AskDrLove.com, live events to find out more, and register today.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
In a single moment, your life can change. Join Marianne Pastana, host of Moments with Marianne, for a transformative hour of leaders in their field, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Tune in to experience Moments with Marianne every second Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Don't miss this. And remember, make every moment count.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1995. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of Dr. Love's relationship advice columns or submit a question to her free advice column. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you. So take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listener. So if you have a question for her, call in during the live show broadcast or catch the show every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time on DreamVision7Radio.com. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm talking with you about how to turn off your emotional blowtorch so that you ditch the fight traps that are holding your relationship hostage and making you sick and shortening your lifespan and just ruining your relationship. Now, before we took the break, I gave you a couple of really popular open warfare fight traps. Here's another one, winners and losers. In the winners and losers, here Elaine says, well, you forgot to pick up my car part. And Rick says, I'm sorry. And then Elaine says, I can't rely on you. And Rick says, I was sorry. You won't be satisfied until you grind me into the dirt. And she says, that's where you belong. You've seen this. Either you do it or your partner does it. It's like, I got to win, and I'm not going to stop until you are down and out. And a variant of that fight trap is the, I'm right, you're wrong. Fred, for example, says, you shouldn't face the net when you're hitting a backhand shot. And Sarah says, oh, I'm married to Jimmy friggin' Connors. And then Fred says, I'm just telling you how to improve your shot. And she says, And he says, you know, I'm just a better player than you. And she says, yeah, you're right. You're a better player and a better chef and a better expert in everything. And then he says, what are you talking about? I never pretended to be a laundry expert. So that's also sarcastic, which is an open warfare fight trap. Now, here's another biggie that people use all the time. In fact, I was just talking to a patient before coming on air, and she was using this character assassination fight trap with her ex-husband. Character assassinations involve name-calling, insults, put-downs, and she called her husband selfish. That's a name-calling, and that's a character assassination. Here's another example. Steve, you know you're a real loser. Louise, you should talk. You're lazy. And then Steve says, I'm not the gutless one who doesn't dare ask for a raise, as you can see. Very, very disastrous, very destructive. Any kind of open warfare heats the climate, turns the blowtorch to high, creates the chemical imbalance that leads to husband withdrawal and more fighting. So we want to study the chapter in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. Take note of all the open warfare fight traps that you use and ditch them, all right? Now, I thought that this would be an interesting little piece of trivia for you, a Dr. Love's quickie, if you will. We know that newlyweds who yell or call each other names have a higher chance of getting divorced. This we know. But a piece of research came out confirming my own research findings. And this research is out of the University of Michigan, and it shows that one specific conflict pattern predicts divorce. And can you guess what it is? Husband withdrawal. And as I say in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, and I said it starting back in 1999, husband withdrawal is the number one fight pattern that is associated with divorce and domestic violence. Now, the study found that a particular toxic pattern, when one spouse deals with conflict constructively by calmly discussing the situation, listening to his or her partner's point of view, trying hard to find out what their partner is feeling, and the other spouse withdraws. And this pattern seems to have a damaging effect on the longevity of marriage, which we know. And another article in the Journal of Marriage and Family found that spouses who deal with conflicts constructively may view their partner's habit of withdrawing as a lack of investment in their relationship rather than an attempt to cool down. This is true because so often what happens when a husband withdraws, a woman thinks, you don't care enough about me to stick around and resolve our issue. And then as a result, she becomes more hurt and more angry, which triggers more of a chemical imbalance, more withdrawal, more fighting. Now, here's another interesting statistic for you. One divorce statistic that always surprises people is the divorce rate of second and third marriages. So most people who divorce spin the roulette wheel of romance again, and the conventional wisdom holds that a one-time divorce loser has learned from his or her experience that he made mistakes but moved on, or she made mistakes, a wiser man or woman, I am now, and that I'm going to have more likely success my second time around. But it so happens that the statistics say it's wrong. 60 to 67% of second marriages fail, and 70 to 73% of third marriages end on the rocks. So the experience, the reason why this doesn't work is because if you have unfinished business from your first marriage and you haven't attended to it, you just go into a rebound and you bring your unfinished business and bad habits into your next relationship, and you're just in the same boat and worse. Now, here's another interesting finding. Of all the common things that couples fight about, money disputes were the best harbingers of divorce. For wives, disagreements over finances and sex were good predictors of divorce, but finance disputes were much stronger predictors. And for husbands, financial disagreements were the only type of common disagreement that predicted whether they would get a divorce. So these findings, interestingly, were presented at the annual conference of the National Council on Family Relations. And if you want to read it, it's in a document called The State of Our Unions. It's a report on marriage and money released by the University of Virginia's National Marriage Project and the Center for Marriage and Families at the Institute for American Values. But it's amazing, isn't it? Because this research that I have been compiling and then eventually culminated in the book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, is being confirmed more and more as we're doing much more university-based research on marriages and what makes them succeed and fail. Let me give you a couple tweets to help drive home the points that I've given you so far about turning off the blowtorch. Here's the first one. Keep up the verbal slapping and you're going to send your partner packing. Remember? If you use your words like a fist, you're going to end up getting dissed. A tongue that scorches leads to divorces. And bitchcraft will sink your love raft. And here's my last one. Your love will tank if your mouth is overly frank. And let me just give you a quick tip of the week to hold in your heart. Chronic unresolved conflict kills us physically by raising our cortisol levels, which over time lowers our immune function, raises our blood pressure, and damages our arteries and our heart. So if you want your relationship to kill you, keep fighting. If you want to make old bones and you want to live to a ripe old age, you need to resolve your relationship conflicts now. That's what Kiss Your Fights Goodbye shows you how to do. And basically the book takes you from start to finish. You identify your old scars, because old scars are always the fuel that exacerbates and accelerates your fights. And then I show you how to use your relationship to work together to heal these old scars, how to ditch your fight traps, how to listen and understand, which resolves 99% of our conflicts. So Kiss Your Fights is really your Bible if you want to resolve your conflicts and have a long-lasting marriage and live to a ripe old age. Now let's do some questions, all right? This one, when you listen to these questions, just think about how the question can relate to you. Partially identify with the players in the question. Store away the issue, too, because even if this issue isn't yours today, it may be tomorrow. And our unconscious has an infinite capacity for remembering information. And if this same situation comes to you down the road, you'll be able to pull out the question and my answer and use it to help you. Dear Dr. Love, I hope you're going to take the time to read my story and give me feedback. I really don't know what to do. I'm a 36-year-old single mother. I have a loving relationship with Gary, the father of my 2-year-old son, Justin. We've been intimately involved for 4 years. And when I first initiated a relationship with Gary, I was living with a married man. Oh, I was living with a man named Mitchell, and Gary was involved with a woman named Cheryl. It was understood that we were each already involved in serious relationships, so we agreed to have an open, non-exclusive relationship. Later, I changed my mind and decided I wanted a sexually exclusive relationship with Gary, and I started fighting with him about it. And after I had a child, our conflict over monogamy intensified. To make it worse, Gary was very ambivalent about being a father. To his credit, Gary has always been attentive, loving, even doting towards our son, but it did freak him out to suddenly have a child out of wedlock. After some couples counseling, we chose to take a self-development class together about sexuality and relationships, which was sponsored by our church. And at that time, Gary gave up his relationship with Cheryl and focused his energies on his relationship with me. 1 year later, our relationship is better than ever. We have much less conflict, monogamy is no longer an issue, and Gary is becoming a better father. Although we aren't married and still maintain separate households, Gary and I have a very close relationship. We spend almost every night together and take most of our meals at Gary's house. He cooks. We take all our vacations together as a family. We make love twice a day, and Gary is dedicated to satisfying me completely. I feel more love in my life than I ever have had. Gary lavishes affection on me and would do anything for me. He likes to surprise me with jewelry and flowers. He's the most nurturing and devoted man I've ever been involved with. Our friends marvel at how good we are together. Gary is passionately in love with me and wants to marry me. My dilemma is that I still feel anger and resentment toward Gary for refusing to agree to monogamy with me for so long. And I'm angry that he didn't at first want me to have his baby. And I'm so angry that I'm considering leaving Gary. What should I do? Am I nurturing an unfair and unhealthy grudge, or am I justifiably angry? Should I try to forgive him and make a life with him, or should I leave him? Thanks. Now, obviously, it's not my role to tell you to either forgive or to nurse a grudge. It's my role to help you understand why you find yourself in the predicament of being unable to let go of the grudge. And with this understanding, you're going to be freer to move forward and make your own unconflicted choice. So the first thing you need to understand is that whenever we hold on to a feeling, in this case the feeling of resentment, and can't let go of that feeling, we can't let go of that feeling, it's because it's being fueled by an old scar from childhood. Now, an example that I'm going to give you that's going to help you see what I mean. So let's say I'm at a store and a salesperson looks down her nose at me and talks to me like I'm stupid. And let's say my dad used to do the same thing to me. A person without my history would just shrug off the incident with the salesperson and think, oh, what a jerk she is. But by contrast, the person with my history is going to experience a disproportionately strong emotional reaction, a reaction that doesn't quit. And you're going to find that you could be enraged for more than a day, weeks, months, years. And unless you make the conscious link between the past and the current reality, and unless you say to yourself, oh, yeah, that salesperson reminds me of my father, you're going to find it hard to shake your feelings. Now, the tricky thing is most times our minds work unconsciously, linking present events with past wounds, and we don't know we're making the link. All we're aware of is our feeling. And our feeling actually blocks our minds from thinking clearly and making the link that we need to make back to the old scar. So what you need to understand is that the reason why you can't shake the grudge is because your boyfriend's refusal to immediately come around and be your exclusive partner and have a child with you awakened an old scar of yours. So to figure out what wound you're nursing, you have to link past and present. And to do this, you have to say, how does my current grudge echo my old scar? Who forced me to fight and beg for attention or love and seem to never come through? Now, I'm imagining you felt wounded by a parent who neglected you, and the result is that you're living with a lot of buried hurt and anger. Now, notice you chose to become involved with a guy who wasn't all there for you, and your unconscious did that so that you could bring up the old pain. So you now have to make the link up, and then you have to figure out how this grudge serves you, because grudging and holding on to a grudge gives us an exclusive right, an excuse to release our anger and never let it go. People who have been wounded and victimized in childhood often feel the need to rage at their partners because it's as if they're releasing all that pent-up rage toward the parent who did them wrong, and they're paying the parent back symbolically by raging at their mates and holding on to a grudge against their mates. So the thing you can't forgive your boyfriend for is surely something that you resented your parents for, and you're using your boyfriend to get even with your parent. And the sad fact is you're never going to succeed in draining all your emotional barrels using this operation. No amount of raging at your boyfriend and grudge-keeping is ever going to make up to you for the fact that you were cheated out as a kid. The raging is just going to ruin your life or even end your relationship with him. And so what you want to do is find out why you're hanging on to the grudge. Figure out what your old scar is and begin to heal it. And this is what Kiss Your Fights is all about. I actually have a section in the book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, where I show you how to look at your fight and then trace it back and identify your old scar. And then once you identify the old scar, I show you how to talk with your partner about the old scar so that you, instead of aiming your cannons at Gary, are going to use him as an ally to help you heal the old scar. And as the old scar heals, your grudge toward Gary will fade. All right, let me take a brief break, and we'll be back in a moment with Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
When my beloved husband died of a bee sting, I wanted to die and join him. But his astonishing spirit manifestations proved to me that we don't die and our relationships aren't meant to end with bodily death. To honor his request that I let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others, I wrote the number one international bestseller, Love Never Dies, which tells our eternal love story and introduces my new method for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Hi, I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I invite you to join me starting March 17th for my week-long visit to Unity St. Pete, Florida, where I will teach you how to say hello, not goodbye, to your loved ones in spirit, and even heal any unfinished business that remains. If you're ready to transform your grief to joy, visit askdrlove.com/live events to find out more and register today. That's askdrlove.com/live events.
Do you believe that mankind can create a world whose priority is nurturing life? And that love and unity would be the foundation for this new paradigm? Soul on Air on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network provides a unique service to our audience by personally researching solutions that align with our unique value tenets. With these stories, we seek to inspire awakening, awareness, and involvement. Tune in every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time to co-create with us. And please visit us online at nowsharelove.org. This is our story to write. Let's make it a love story.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you or someone you know has lost a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's best-selling Hay House book, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, presents her groundbreaking new transdimensional grief therapy method, which offers the first vehicle in history for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift. A free excerpt of Love Never Dies. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm talking about how to turn the emotional blowtorch off, how to end the fight. And we, just before we took a break, I was talking about how what fuels our fights more than anything else is the old scars from childhood. They trigger us and bring up all the old feelings from the past we don't even realize. We're having what I call the emotional lake effect. I explain all about that in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. So you need to be able to figure out your old scar and then use your relationship, help your partner become your ally, to talk with you about it, heal the old scar, and as you do, work together as allies rather than enemies and heal your old scar. Your fighting just fades. Now here's the next question we're going to answer. I don't want to fight all the time. Okay, Dr. Love, I'm so happy with the guy I'm with. I see us being together for the rest of my life. Our problem is we argue a lot, but we get over it real fast. I don't like arguing and fighting and then getting all lovey-dovey. I don't want to fight or argue anymore. I don't want to ruin what we have. I love him with every ounce of life in me. So what do I do to solve this problem? I try ignoring what would make us argue, but then it builds up and this isn't good. Please, Dr. Love, help me. I love him too much to let him go. Help, help, help. I want him as my lover for all time. Please help. Okay, so this is a really important question because chronic fighting absolutely erodes a relationship. So we need to help you both learn how to discuss your difficult issues before they build up and then you blow up. So until you master my conflict resolution method, as I fully outline in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, let's focus on one thing that you can do to get started. So if you're fighting, then you're not hearing each other. And when you each don't feel heard, you shout louder, which only creates more anger, less listening, and the fighting escalates. So here's what you both need to do right now. Make sure to communicate what's upsetting you in a way that is easy for the other to hear. Use my XY formula. And this consists of calmly describing, no screaming, no fight traps, no yelling, no shouting. You just calmly describe what was said or done and how you feel about it. Now, if your partner is highly defensive, which is likely if you've been fighting for a while, then you want to avoid using the word you altogether. So instead of saying, I felt angry when you called me names, you want to reword the sentence so that you are not using the word you at all. So instead you would say, for example, when I am called names, I feel angry. See, it's more neutral, less likely to trigger ANS arousal. The cooler you stay when you're presenting what's troubling you, the easier it's going to be for your partner to stick around and discuss the matter with you and vice versa. Now, after presenting your issue, the listener has to repeat back what he or she heard the presenter say. So if the listener understood, then the speaker says, that's right. Now, remember this, effective listening is effective conveying. It means conveying that I heard you by repeating back what you said. And when the presenter says that's right, then we're good. But if the listener didn't understand, then the speaker has to restate what's troubling him or her, and then the listener has to again repeat what he thinks or she thinks you said. And you keep doing this until you are feeling fully understood. Now, the listener has to try to make sure not to talk the speaker out of his or her feelings. The listener also has to remember to wait his turn, because so often distressed couples will say, well, what about me? Wait a minute, that's how you feel, but I want to tell you how I feel. So I call this the emotional right of way. Whoever is speaking has the right of way to feel fully heard and understood before the listener can now take his turn and talk about his experience, his thoughts and feelings. So there's so much to learn about this. And Kiss Your Fights Goodbye breaks it all down for you, okay? Now, here's the next question. It's called Very Troubled. Dear Dr. Love, my live-in girlfriend and I fight very often of late, and it seems to me to be over the least little thing. I admit I can get very irritated at times, but it seems that both of our tolerance levels have hit rock bottom. I love her with all my heart, but it seems that we're just falling apart. And I think it's related to the fact that she just will not let go of past problems. Whenever we fight, I swear she has a satellite link up to a computer with all the things I did wrong cataloged. And when we begin to argue, she slaps up the past to me and says very mean things. What I would like to know is, what can I do to make things better so that we can have a life together? Okay, so your girlfriend is caught in what I call a fight trap. And her particular fight trap is bringing up ancient history. And it's also called kitchen sinking, where you throw everything that's ever bothered you since day one into the kitchen sink, like you do with all the pots and pans. And she's also using character assassination. So when your girlfriend hurls ancient history in your face, you naturally feel attacked and defensive. And in this defensive state of mind, you're unable to listen to what's bothering her. And this means another unresolved issue, more anger and more frustration on her part, and more garbage to be thrown up to you in the future. So you're trapped in a major, major vicious cycle. So there's only one way you're going to break this vicious cycle. First, you have to tell your girlfriend, I know I've said and done a lot of things to upset you in the past, but unfortunately I can't change that. But I can start from now and try to understand what I did and how it made you feel. And then you have to guide your girlfriend to focus on one issue, the current one. And she has to describe the behavior that upset her and state how that behavior of yours made her feel. And when she sidetracks onto ancient history, you got to steer her back to the current issue. And as for character assassinations, I'll get to that in a second. Next, we're going to listen carefully to what she says is bothering her. You're going to repeat back what you heard, and you're going to ask her if you've understood, and you're going to keep repeating back what she says until she confirms that you've understood her. Then, this is important, you've got to take responsibility for upsetting her, because remember, her feelings of upset aren't wrong or right, they're just her feelings, and they need to be understood if you want to resolve your conflicts and form a lasting relationship. Now, if you succeed in listening and understanding, she's going to feel less angry. Now, little by little, if you take care of business in the moment, there is going to be no ancient history to throw in your face. Now, as for the character assassination, she says very mean things. Verbal abuse always turns up the blowtorch on your conflicts and leads to out-of-control fighting. So if you want to get along, the verbal abuse has to stop right now. So when she starts verbally smashing you, you have to say, I understand you're angry, and I'm willing to listen if you tell me directly what I did and why it made you angry, but I'm not going to sit for verbal abuse any longer. And if she continues verbally creaming you, then you have to leave the room or the house. So she gets the message that if she wants to be heard, she's going to have to change her tune. Now, I imagine she grew up watching parents verbally abuse each other, or she was verbally abused, and that maybe you watch this type of abuse and know no other way to deal with conflict. So in any case, what I suggest to you is going to help both of you adopt a healthier way of expressing anger. And Kiss Your Fights Goodbye is going to really show you how to navigate all the little ins and outs. And by the way, like I said, when we keep bringing up ancient history because we don't feel understood, but when you start understanding her and resolving your issues in the now, it's going to cool her down so that some of that old stuff will fade away, and it'll be replaced by a positive experience that you resolved stuff now. See what I mean? All right. Let's do a reading between the sheets. This one is Confused, Hurt, and Disappointed in Indiana. Dear Dr. Love, I'm a newlywed. I was a virgin until our honeymoon night, and I've always anticipated great things about sex and couldn't wait to let all my urges out. However, our honeymoon was a disaster. 3 days in, while I had expected to be beating my husband off with a stick and barely being able to walk from all the sex because there was so much, you know, sexual tension buildup, I found that we only made love 2 times and that I was having to persuade him for more. After dozens of discussions and fights and tantrums, I find myself 5 months down the road and nothing's changed. My fear is that since he was not a virgin, all of his excitement and drive are gone with nothing left for me. I thought men were supposed to like sex no matter how much they've had it in the past. Okay, so you're really in a tight spot because you're attributing your husband's lack of drive to the fact that he played himself out before marrying you, and the result being that his tank is empty. Now, whether your theory is correct or not remains to be seen, because the fact is he just seems to have not much sex drive. Now, I'm afraid that both of you didn't make your sexual expectations explicit. You assumed he was like you, chomping at the bit for sex and waiting to unleash his desires once he was married, and the disaster you're living is going to teach you something very important about yourself, that you need to be more direct in communicating your expectations and making sure that your assumptions are correct and shared by him. And learning how to do this is going to spare you so much heartache in the future, because had you verbalized your expectations while you were dating and during your courtship leading up to the wedding, I think you would have found out sooner rather than later that you chose a man who has a low sex drive. That's why he was willing to forego sex throughout your courtship. So the question now becomes, what can you do? So you both need to lay your cards on the table, and you need to find out if it's true that his drive was always low. And if it wasn't always low, then you're going to want to determine when his drive went south. Is he suffering from depression or a health problem like diabetes, low thyroid, low adrenal function, or even low testosterone? So if he can link the dwindling desire to a specific time or event, then you're on the path to deciphering the cause of the problem and finding a cure for it. Now, if his drive was always low, and what you see is what you get. And if this turns out to be true, then you're going to be faced with a really hard decision about whether you're willing to remain married to a guy whose drive is so different from yours. And if he's willing to accommodate you by offering you other non-intercourse forms of pleasure, even when he isn't in the mood, you might be able to live with his low drive. But if he isn't willing to accommodate you, then you're going to need to study whether emotional issues are dampening his desires. His reluctance to have intercourse may be caused by a fear of intimacy or a passive-aggressive personality disorder in which he expresses anger toward you by withholding what you want the most. So this is not an easy problem to solve. But tackle the issue in a logical step-by-step fashion, and you're going to decipher the cause of his lack of desire. If he has a low sex drive by nature, then you're going to work to arrive at an accommodation that suits you both. But if his problem is medical or emotional, then we're going to address and resolve these issues. And you really do deserve a satisfying sex life, so you want to stay true to your needs, and you don't want to fight with him. And the fact that you're having to fight with him really makes me wonder if he is being passive aggressive, because if it was just simply, I have low drive, but I'm not sticking it to you, by not sticking it to you, you see, then he would say, what can I do to work around this? And he does sound to be withholding. That's my instinct. Now, you know, sometimes people need to work with me privately. If you need additional help, come to AskDrLove.com and go to work with Dr. Turndorf under private consulting, and I can actually work with you by phone or Skype, depending on wherever you are in the world. All righty. So I've given you a lot to think about today. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be shifting the Ask Dr. Love radio show to the Love Never Dies show. So you'll be able to listen to all my archived Ask Dr. Love show. I'll keep them in the archive at AskDrLove.com, and also you'll be able to have the archived shows on iTunes and Web Talk Radio and Transformation Talk Radio and Dream Vision 7 Radio. My archives are all over the place, but my current radio syndicator, my beautiful Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, airs live every second and fourth Sunday night over WMEX 1510 AM in Boston. And because the Love Never Dies show involves my live communication with you, answering your questions, helping you dialogue with your departed and healing unfinished business, I'm going to begin broadcasting in February, the second Sunday in February, I'm going to begin broadcasting live over WMEX. Now, how this is going to work, when you go to AskDrLove.com to my upcoming radio show page, you're going to see a Listen Live player. This will enable you to listen to the live broadcast as I'm airing the show live. And you will also see the 800 number on that radio show page so that you will be able to call me toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. If you're in Europe, you'll be able to call me toll-free by dialing the 800 number through Skype. Then we'll be able to connect with each other live on the second and fourth Sunday. And then, of course, the show will be archived for you to listen to afterwards on my site and on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. The show will also rebroadcast as usual on Wednesdays and Thursdays on Dream Vision 7. So I'll put all this up at AskDrLove.com so you'll be able to keep abreast of everything. But the biggest thing is I want to be able to have Love Never Dies and my transdimensional grief method available to my broader worldwide audience rather than just keeping it under lock and key at the Hay House Radio membership. So I'll be leaving Hay House Radio as of the end of January and bringing you my transdimensional grief method, working with you, helping you to reconnect, stay connected, and heal unfinished business. So that's all I have for you for today. So remember to turn the emotional blowtorch off, stop the fighting, and save your relationship and save your life by identifying and eliminating all your open warfare fight tactics. And also, when you read Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, check out The Secret Warfare, too. They really heat up the climate just as well and create more fighting. So I will see you next time on Ask Dr. Love. Take care for now.
This has been Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Visit Dr. Turndorf at AskDrLove.com. Follow her on Twitter at AskDrLove and on Facebook at /AskDrLove.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234.
What if everything that you've been taught about who you are and what life is has been untrue? Join Devra Laval, host of Living in Quantum Love, where she'll explore and dissect the limiting beliefs and wrong understandings that have only served to keep us not only separate from one another, but from our own selves. Living in Quantum Love can be heard every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Join Devra and take a leap to freedom.
Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Debra Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love